One of my favorite mantras that I've heard the past probably year or so in my reading is I read an amazing book that is called Essentialism. And Essentialism is basically walking you through how to do less but better, how to do more with less. And that's something I really, really gravitate toward because oftentimes our lives get so damn busy. And busy is not good. Busy is not a badge that we should be wearing on our shirt saying, oh my gosh, I'm busy. And that's something I'm so guilty of in the past. And I still get into those phases today and I don't like it. So we actually did a podcast here on the Carrot Cast about, probably 10, 15 episodes ago. You can find it on our website at carrotcast.com or go to iTunes or go to Stitcher or wherever you listen to your podcast. Find the one called How I 10X My Productivity. Okay, 10X My Productivity. And on that podcast, we talk about how to do less but better, how to do more with less. Okay. And one of the biggest ways that's helped me over the years is to really bring on an executive assistant or personal assistant or whatever you want to call that person on your team. And how we do it. But here's the thing that really, really surprised me. When Adrian, Nez on our team and I did that podcast, we didn't know that it was probably going to become the most popular one that we've done to date, getting thousands and thousands and thousands of downloads, bunches of emails and text messages and Facebook messages to me from people saying, hey, I'm in that spot in my business and life where I'm getting to where I'm doing too much, where I need to get more off of my plate, where I am the person doing almost all of the work. Okay, where you're managing your own calendar, you're managing your own email, you're still doing all those busy tasks that are taking you away from the things that you enjoy, the things that you're awesome at, and the things that also make you money. So an executive assistant is one of the ways to solve that if you do it correctly. And we got a ton of questions after that episode where people were saying, awesome, that was an amazing episode. Now what do I do? You know, what do I put in my job ads? Who do I find? What systems and tools do I use to best help myself work with an amazing executive assistant to make myself more productive and more effective and more happy in my business and life? So that's what this episode is. This episode, Adrian and I are coming on part two. We're not sure if we're going to do part three yet or not. You need to let us know in the comments section or shoot us some emails or hit us up on Facebook if you want more and more detail. But in this episode, we dive into those details. We dive into where do we find amazing people, you know, an executive assistant? What do you look for? What do you say? What tests do you have them run? Things like that. Okay. And we also go into some of our resources and tools on some things that you can do to make working with your executive assistant more efficient. Now, Adrian and I did kind of dive into some conversation here, and so it went a little bit longer than expected, but I think there's a ton of value in here for you. And also, we put out a ton of resources on this call, okay? And there's going to be some things in the notes section that you're going to want to listen to and find and download, okay? And if there's other resources that we didn't have a chance to dive into, let us know, and we can also put them in the notes section or do a shorter part three and wrap up this series with you on hiring an executive assistant to make you 10 times more productive, okay? So without further ado, guys and gals, let's dive into this episode, How to 10X Your Productivity, Hiring an Executive Assistant, Part 2. Hey, so we're coming at you, Adrian, from the East Coast. This is Trevor Mock, of course, from Roseburg, Oregon, on the West Coast. And we're coming at you about a week removed from our Carrot Team retreat out here in Oregon. And Adrian has been on the road a lot lately, myself included. I'm heading to San Francisco tomorrow morning, which I really don't like being on the road for work that much. But Adrian is cool hanging out with you here last week. Last weekend, two weekends ago, I guess. And kind of getting my quarterly or every 6 month dose of Mr. Adrian Nez. So it's cool having you out here, man.
No, it was a good time. I continue to get so much out of just hanging out with you and really even the team. I just there's just something about one of my favorite scriptures or proverbs talks about iron sharpens iron, and it's such a true principle. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when I joined Carrot, I began to really expound out my normal boundaries, because I'm one of those guys, man. Like I was a homebody. Like I'm just a homebody. Not that I don't like to socialize, but I'm a homebody. And and having kids, I don't want them to be the same way. So I began to really challenge myself. Like, man, I need to get out of the house, do more networking, and be really surround yourself with good people that really have the same inspiration as you. And no better team to be around with people who are inspiring than the Carrot team. And, you know, kudos to you for building this awesome group of people from different backgrounds, different, you know, different phases that they're going through, and just kind of putting this together and just create this awesome environment with Carrot. So anyway, yeah, thank you for having me too.
Yeah, dude. And without going into that, we've done other podcasts on culture and stuff, and I want to dive in and do more of that. But no, it was a blast, and we're just so thankful and blessed to have an amazing team. We're looking forward to seeing how that team grows this next year. So what we're going to be doing today, guys and gals, is we're doing episode 2 of how we 10x our productivity. We did that podcast a couple months back, and that's our number one most listened to podcast. I believe, I could be wrong. So Brendan, if you're listening to this, Brendan, our resident content marketing and podcast dude, if our numbers are a little bit off, go with me, but it's one of the top three for sure. And we've been getting so many comments from people about that episode, because we kind of, being honest, guys and gals, we kind of bait you in, right? We kind of bait you in with this title of how we 10x our productivity, because that's exactly how, one of the ways we've done it. And then the solution to that is, hey, we did it by not doing all the work ourselves. We hired personal assistants, right? So that may not be the exact thing that you guys are looking for when you first initially click play on that podcast episode. But the reason that I put that in there is because I heard from a mentor of mine, or two mentors of mine, actually, way back about 5, 6, 7 years ago. They were saying, Trevor, the first person you need to hire is an assistant. I'm like, I don't need that, man. I'll get by. I'm going to hire these other people first. I have these independent contractors or something. I don't need an assistant. And both those guys said, you need one right now. You need it like the very first thing. One of them even said, man, before we ever took in a dollar revenue, we hired our first assistant. And I'm like, oh, man. Anyway, so fast forward today, I would definitely espouse that same advice to everyone. If you want to be a high achiever, if you want to really be able to get more done, but work in the things you enjoy a lot and stay out of the weeds as much as you can in that type of stuff, having someone along your side, in whatever role you call it, is really, really important. We just happen to call it a personal assistant or an executive assistant. Okay. So Adrian and I on this episode of the Carrot Cast, we're going to fulfill what we promised in that original episode. If you haven't listened to that original episode yet, we got so many comments. I still get text messages every single week from people saying, I so needed to listen to the episode right now. You guys nailed it. But then their number one question is, I don't know what to do next, right? I don't know how to find an amazing executive assistant. I don't know what I should pay him. I don't know what I should look for. Is there any tests I should do to have them make sure they're the right personality? What tools and systems do you guys use to work with your personal assistants amazingly? And what kind of mindset shifts should we be making to make sure that we have an amazing cooperation, amazing like a business marriage with your executive assistant? Okay. So, Adrian and I are going to be talking about that. And dude, let's start on the mindset side, because, before anyone can really be successful in delegating, doesn't matter who it's to, a personal assistant, executive assistant, employee, independent contractor, doesn't matter. We've got to shift some mindsets in the way that we do work, on the way that we get work done. Okay. So Adrian, for you, man, what are some of the biggest mindset shifts you had to make when you started to delegate, not just to your executive assistant, but when you started to delegate to maybe your first person you started to delegate to, and then lead that into mindset shifts you had to make with your executive assistant you brought on board?
Yeah, so I think there's two things that I really had to kind of get over. One was a mindset that I'm not there yet. Mm-hmm. That's probably one of the biggest hurdles that people have to – they kind of assess things based on where they are. You know, for me – as entrepreneurs, you know, we have the gift and ability to have foresight, to kind of know what we want to accomplish. So I kind of had to really step back, and I still give credit to the fine nature of Oregon when I kind of found this stuff out. But to me, it was like, okay, this is what I want to accomplish. Get off of thinking and looking at your situation of where you are. I think so many people don't give themselves enough credit to know that, you know what, you're accomplishing something. Obviously, you're to this point to where you're even thinking about an assistant and it's nugging at you for whatever reason. Mm. So for me, again, one of the mindset shifts is I'm not there yet. Get rid of that. You got to think about things that you want to accomplish. And one of the biggest hindrances that will hinder mankind or every individual person to accomplish their God-given task, for me, in my opinion, is time. Mm-hmm. So you have to learn how to manage your time. And now, obviously, you can't extend time. You can't, you know, do that. So how is it that you can effectively accomplish more in the same time frame? Mm-hmm. And to me, it's having having an extra set of hands. Mm-hmm. It's having an extension of yourself. And for me, that was one of the biggest things that I kind of had to get over. And I'm sure we'll get more into that. But the other hurdle is the whole price, the cost. Mm-hmm. Here's an analogy. You know, like I talk to people about PPC, and you know, there's just mindset that you got to put a bunch of money into PPC to be effective. Which of course it helps that you have a big budget, mm-hmm. but start where you are. You know, start with a few keywords. Start with a few settings that you have a little bit more control over, and just start from there and grow out of there. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing with the mentality of having a personal assistant is start where you are. So if you can spend $100 a week, that's $400 a month. And all of us can find $400 a month one way or the other. You just kind of have to prioritize. To me, I had to look at it as an investment in myself. And I've come to that place to where I'm taking my God-given task or my calling, I guess you could say, more seriously than I have ever before. And a lot of it's been in the right environment, like we talked about at the beginning of the call. So now I take it more seriously. So now it's getting out of that mindset of cost to where it's more of a mindset of where you're making an investment mm-hmm. in yourself. So those are probably the two biggest hurdles I had to overcome, thinking that you're not there yet. And then two, making the shift from cost-minded to invested-minded in yourself.
Dude, I love it. I want to unpack a couple of those. before I do, I just want to kind of lay out to people that have started listening to this episode of the Carrot Cast that we're going to be walking through basically these four things in this episode. We're going to walk through the mindset shifts you've got to nail in order to really delegate in an amazing way, whether you have to anyone, not just an executive assistant. The next thing is, how do you find those people? How do you find that person? How do you hire them? You know, what I'm even going to lay out, you know, what kinds of amounts should you expect to pay, and how can you roll it out slowly, like Adrian is saying, so you don't feel like you're biting off this entire massive salary at the start. You make it fit your current state. Right. The third thing is, what do you do with that first 60 days? Right. Because that's one of the most difficult, maybe enough to up to 90 days. That's one of the most difficult times, especially when you bring on a personal assistant or an executive assistant. I was talking with a friend of mine, Chris Brisson, owns a software company. I've invested in a couple of his companies. Good friend of mine. He's actually in San Francisco and we're going to be here this week. And he's like, man, amazing episode. And then he started texting me all these questions. And one of them was, my biggest fear is I don't know, that I would have enough things to have them do. It's like, that's my biggest fear. So we're going to tackle, what do you have an executive assistant do in that first 30, 60, 90 days? And how do you scale it out to where it makes sense? They can get to know you. You can get to know them. That takes that pressure off. And then section four of this podcast is the tools, resources, systems, best practices we use with our executive assistants to do an amazing job. So I want to reverse back and then go back to unpacking Adrian's first mindset issue. So, that you're not quite ready yet, right? You're not quite there. That was your first one, right? Yeah. Sweet. So if you feel like you're not quite there yet, you may or may not be, right? So we're not going to say that everyone that's listening to this should go out and get an assistant. Like, not the case. Okay. I had to have some sort of revenue coming in first. So if you have a job and you're going to funnel that into growing your business, somehow you've got to free up your time. And that's what we're talking about here is amplifying what you're able to accomplish and get done during the day, because you can't do it all, and have someone come in who can do those things that they enjoy doing, the things you don't like and that you're not good at. And you can pay someone way less than your hourly value is. And that's what we're talking about here. We're not trying to demean anyone at all. But if you are the entrepreneur and you're bringing in, I'm just making up a number. Let's say you're bringing in $200,000 a year to the business. You can't be doing $10 or $15 an hour tasks. And that's where this executive assistant can come in and just completely crush it for you. I want to touch on a couple other mindset shifts here that I had to make, man. One of them was this right here that dude, this is probably the biggest one that I had tried to paint my own perceptions of the world and my own desires on what Jen, my executive assistant of 5 years, what she wanted out of life. And I think I briefly touched on this in the first episode of this series. But it was about a year in to working with Jen that we sat down, and I was struggling during that year to really find that balance of what do I have her take on and really fully empower her and me get out of the way. I was just so in the way that first year. And I asked her that question. I was like, what do you like? What's your dream job? Like, what do you love to do? And cause when I was interviewing her, I was projecting my own desires. Hey, you probably want to do marketing, right? Because that's what I like to do. And you probably want to grow in your role and expand, right? Because that's what I want to do. That's what I thought she wanted to do. And so what happened during that year, and you probably saw the same things, Adrian, but what happened during that year is I wouldn't outsource or delegate the things that I felt were crap work. Or the things like, oh man, I don't want to drag her down with that because I don't like it. And then I don't want to make her job all that stuff. And then she's not going to want to work for me. And when I asked her that question at the end of that year, what's your ideal job? What do you love to do? And she's like, I just want to be a personal assistant. I don't want to get in a marketing role. I love taking care of you. I love taking care of people. I love organizing. I love all these things that you keep on saying that you don't like. I'm like, yes. So that's a huge mindset shift you guys need to get over is they are not you. Okay. They have unique abilities. They have things that they love and that they don't like. You have unique abilities, things that you love and you don't like. You guys need to mesh them together so they're complementary. That's a biggie. What's your experience there, dude? Like when you were going through, did you have that same issue?
No, big time. And I kind of instilled, I countered this last, really in the last 2 weeks. So one of the cool things my personal assistant does is when we first, and this might be a little bit getting ahead of ourselves, but mm-hmm. kind of relates to what we're talking about now, is what's your biggest struggles? And my biggest struggles really was me eating properly throughout the day. Mm-hmm. So it was really cool that she was proactive in that sense. And, you know, besides just the workplace, right? Just the business side of it. So I told her, I said, man, I just have an issue knowing when to eat. So now what she does is when she comes in at 9. First thing she does is she prepares my breakfast, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. Then 2 hours later, she'll make me a shake. She'll come in and ask me if you want a shake. Mm-hmm. And then she has a designated time now where she makes me lunch. And what she did was also we lined up a bunch of water right next to my desk, probably like 5 a day. So mm-hmm. I don't have to go ask. I don't have to take the time. So she just really has helped position those things. But here's my point. Man, it was so hard, like her coming in and bring me lunch. Mm-hmm. Like man, like I'm not that superior. You know, that mentality, like I don't deserve this or mm-hmm. that type of it really wants to creep in. So that was a struggle, but I'm slowly getting over it. And I'll mm-hmm. be honest, I still struggle with it. Because like you said, I look at it from my point of view. Mm-hmm. But yet, to her, this is what she loves to do. She loves serving. She loves that she can make a difference, that I'm able to perform at a higher level mm-hmm. with her contribution. Mm-hmm. So like you said, that's really point on. Don't think just because we view it that way, you know, that they're going to view it the same way, especially if you get the right person.
Dude, I'm so glad you said that, because 5 years in with Jen right now, like we pretty much sometimes finish each other's thoughts and sentences on some things. And I up until like 2 months ago, still struggle with that exact issue where there's certain like things that I would think me as a human being should be able to handle, right? Making sure I drink enough water, making sure I actually eat, you know, my meals during the day and actually have lunch and actually make sure I go and work out and move. Those are just dumb things that I would like, why would I even have to, do I not have enough discipline to take care of these basic things? But I think a lot of high achieving people, whether you're an entrepreneur or not, can probably relate to this where you just get so lost in your craft and you just get so down that rabbit hole of your work and your focus that oftentimes we don't pull back and take care of ourselves. So it's not about us having the discipline. It's not about us, you know, just wanting to sit there and, like you said, kind of be served and be a king. It's we just sometimes forget about taking care of ourselves, and we need to make sure that we're structuring systems and or people to help us do that. And we need to make sure we're taking care of our team, at, you know, in that same way. And I remember we had some guys in a company that we invested in at the offices this past week, And, you know, like I said, even up until a couple months ago, Jen would come into my office and say, hey, do you need lunch today? I didn't want to put her off. I'm like, no, I got it. I'll figure something out. 9 times out of 10, I wouldn't. And then she knows that. And she's like, you're not going to get lunch today. I know that. And I go, you know, you're right. I just didn't want to like hassle you and have you have to go get me something. And she's like, no, that's why I'm here. Like, I want to do this stuff for you. So when those guys were in the office, I was in there working away. I knew I wasn't going to get lunch. She popped in and was like, where do you want me to get you a salad? Because I'm going to get you something. I'm like, awesome, please. And then she brought it and I was able to work and just kept going. So that's a mindset shift everyone's got to get over is, you know, your assistant, your executive assistant, whatever it is, isn't just all this work stuff. It's how do they help support you and the organization to perform better and move toward your mission at a more efficient rate. And you look at race car drivers, right? So if a race car driver had to get out and change their own tires and make sure that they're full of fuel and make sure that someone was out there looking at where the next turn was and what's ahead of them, they would never be as successful as they are without all of that help and assistance. They couldn't get out of the car, pump their own gas, put their own tires on, make sure that they're guiding, you know, doing all this. They have to focus on what their craft is, be amazingly honed in on it, and make sure they have processes, people, and systems around them to help them perform the best. And dude, it's a mindset shift for sure. So we could go down this rabbit hole for hours, but we want to move on to the next thing here. One thing you touched on a little bit, dude, was that this is an investment. Okay. It is an investment. And one thing I had to get over, was that you're not going to see an immediate return all the times. Dude, the first several months for me, probably, I was probably looking at it because I was going about it the wrong way. I didn't have the luxury of having a podcast or a series like this, but I was going, oh my gosh, I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm less productive, you know, the first few months because I was like almost double doing work. I'd have to teach and then I'd have to do this and then I'd have to go back. And I felt mentally like I had to go back and recheck up to make sure things were done because we hadn't built that relationship yet and that trust yet. And I still have those kind of those tendencies too. I think that's very common with a lot of entrepreneurs where you have open loops in your brain and you're not trying to go back and undermine anything. But you're like, you got to close this open loop. And then sometimes we circle back and like, hey, I just want to make sure, you know, this was done, even though they did it 4 weeks ago. You know, it's like, oh man, I got to get these open loops out of my brain. But you have to realize that the investment is a long-term investment. If you're going to give up after a month of just struggling through it or 2 months or 3 months, you've got to have that long-term vision. You've got to have the right person on your side who knows that you are going to struggle through it together. It's not going to be easy at the start. Dude, what were some of the biggest struggles that you guys had in that first, let's say, 60 days working together?
I think it was more or less on my end because So one of the things is like once you write out that check, I'm telling you, like the bean counter comes out. Mm-hmm. Like you want that whole thing accounted for. Like, what did she do? What is she doing? You know what I mean? Like, and to me, that was more of a faulty things are coming to the surface that you just need to be cleansed with. So that was one. As soon as you write the first check, I mean, I think the last call I was sharing how I wrote the biggest check to my thing because I was traveling so much this past week. I wrote probably the biggest check so far to her, but she had a lot more responsibility. So for me, it was so good for me to get that out of my system. So whether it's $100, $200, it's good to get out of your system. Mm-hmm. And also, like you said, we can't look at the investment and think that, okay, where's my return? You know, that's you're setting yourself up for failure because now you're kind of getting back into the one thing that was struggling just for you to get started. So
yep.
I would say I caution everybody as you write that first check, second check, whatever, get your mind off of the cost. You'll be tempted. I was, and I still get tempted to look at the cost. But again, I'm looking at, okay, but I look how much that I'm able to do with less stress. Mm-hmm. Now I'm not there yet, but I'm able to eat a lot better, you know? So it just really, there's that compound effect that's happening. And you just got to give it time, like you said. So I'm glad you made that statement and that whole analogy about the race car driver is perfect. You know, you can't do everything yourself, so. Mm-hmm.
And dude, I'm going to toss this out there too, because some people might be kind of blurring the lines of virtual assistant and like true assistant. And to me, like the normal traditional sense of a VA is someone who does task work, but is not a daily ongoing part of your critical operation of operating you. Okay. So there might be a VA who's overseas. They're probably not an employee possibly. And they still might be doing everyday work. Let's say they're picking up the phone and calling people, or they're running stuff through your CRM, or they're doing whatever. You know, that to me is like task work. What we're talking about here is, how do you become more effective as a leader? How do you become more effective as a leader? Not how do you implement all these systems out there in all these things and how your business works. How do you become more effective? And one of the things that I've had to really struggle through over the years, but once again, it's getting way, 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 way better. It's like you said there, is you have to really make sure that you're not micromanaging the situation. It's so easy to do, because you're so used to taking this dollar and then having it directly relate to this $3 of output, or this $3 of revenue that came in. And oftentimes when you're working with an executive assistant, you can't directly tie that dollar that you paid to a dollar or two or four that they brought back. Where the value comes from most of the time is, like you said, it saves you time. So you have to pull back and go, okay, if this is going to, not right now, not in the first 60 days, you got to train them up. You got to get systems in place. You got to find out how you guys work together. But let's say after you get this handed off, it's going to save you 10 hours a week. And let's say your hourly rate that your time is valued at, let's say, is $200 an hour. That right there is, 200 times 10, that's $2,000 a week. That's $8,000 a month in extra value you just gained yourself, because you gained yourself that time, if that's how much you value your time. So then you're looking at that going, man, that's just 10 hours. You know, what about all this other stuff? Now, what if this person can help me tackle some of these other things? And then the ROI just ramps up even bigger from there. So definitely get over those mindsets. We could go through another hour of mindset issues that you're going to have to get over, but I'm going to kind of sum these up right here really short, and then we're going to go into, how do you find an amazing executive assistant? What do you put in that job description? You know, what tests do we use to pass all of our employees through to make sure that they're a work personality match? But summing all this mindset stuff up, It's not a quick, immediate fix. Okay. It's a long-term game. Make sure you find like a great person who meshes with you, but it's going to hold you accountable. They can't be a yes person all the time. Make sure you get out of your own head of thinking that you're only going to delegate the things that you kind of don't like. You know, the things that you like absolutely don't like at all and are terrible at are the first things that need to go. Okay, that quote unquote crap work that you just consider yourself as it's crap work, that needs to be the first stuff to go. And you can find someone who loves to do that stuff and loves to pick it up. So get rid of that immediately. And then the second thing is, or the last thing on there is, make sure that you have a good, clear plan on how you're going to slowly scale things out with that assistant. Don't think from day one, it's like, I'm turning over email, I'm turning over my calendar, and I'm turning over all this other stuff too. It's a recipe for failure. So pick the first simplest thing and then carve out 5 hours a week, 2 hours a week, 10 hours a week, whatever it is to start. Get comfortable. You know, get a feel for it and scale it up from there. So now let's go. Okay. You're starting to overcome that mindset issue, which that's really not going to happen until you actually get to work with your personal assistant. Dude, where do you go find someone? Where do you go find someone? What things do you look for if you're looking for a great assistant, a great executive assistant?
So for me, I've kind of been blessed to where I've just been really been fortunate to kind of have the right contacts. Mm-hmm. I just kind of threw it out there to some professionals. So when I say professionals, you know, real estate agents and some people I trust in the community. I reached out to our bookkeeper accountant, you know, just, hey, we're just kind of looking around. But one of the mistakes that I made early on is that I hired my first assistant she was more of an administrator, to where they're more of the yes, sir, yes, you know, they just kind of go with the flow. Mm. And you got to have to kind of, you end up micromanaging them in a lot of ways, to where I need you to empower yourselves to do what you need to do based on our communication. So anyway, that was one of the biggest mistakes. The mistakes I made was I hired an administrator, mm-hmm. not an actual personal assistant. I do feel like there are two different traits that each one carry. but me personally, I even put it on Facebook. I just kind of say, hey, looking you know, for a potential person to kind of come in and serve as a personal assistant. I was very clear. I learned after that first hire that now we're very clear on saying personal assistant, experience preferred. And with that, though, you got to have to just know that you are going to pay a little bit more for someone experienced. But to me, it's worth it. But at the same time, we Got some good resources. Some of it I got from Jen. I think she's going to a conference, and some really cool resources that she provided. I'm sure we'll provide that too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, more me was more referral. Mm-hmm. Cause personal assistant is a special person.
Yep. I'm the same way. So the first one that I had, like first true personal assistant, was 6 years ago. She was actually from where'd she come from? She came from a referral, a friend of mine. And that one didn't last long. That was a couple months. She just wasn't in the right mind space herself to be able to organize and help organize me. So that's one really key, guys and gals, is when you go and hire that person, when you interview that person, make sure that if you are a kind of a person who sometimes is scattered, like I wouldn't say that I'm scattered, but I have a lot going on, right? And sometimes I have a tough time saying no. So I've got to always pare back what I'm doing. And if you're going all over the place because you're so busy, that person that you hire, they have to give you like a grounding presence. When you're there talking to them, you should not be getting the vibe to them that they're fidgety. You should not be getting the vibe from them that they're nervous and all this kind of stuff. You should be getting like this vibe that they are the person, like they are a rock. They're grounding you. And if you're already busy and all over the place, the last thing you want is having that person who's helping you every single day be someone who's all over the place where you then have to pull them back. Okay. So make sure it's a very grounding person, very centered person. They're paced, you know, they're not talking crazy fast. They think about the things they think them through, because they want to make sure that they're not just throwing a million questions at you, which then us as high quick starts, then that creates 10 million more questions or 10 million more action items. So they need to make sure that they only present to you what you absolutely only need to see or that they need to ask. So where I found Jen was, same thing. I reached out to my personal network. It ended up being, the wife of, a guy who goes to our entrepreneur group. And one of the things I love, and let's kind of rattle off some things. I know, dude, I just got over a cold and I know you've got one now. So if everyone can see Adrian dying over there, if you're watching the YouTube video version of this, Adrian is like almost dying on the other end of the screen. No, just kidding. But, it's this cold, man, that's been like going around in a massive way and I'm just wrapping it up. But, if you guys are listening in the podcast version, sweet. You don't get to experience any of that. So check out carrotcast.com if you want to check out the full behind the scenes version of this episode. Now, anyway, so dude, like what are some of those specific traits that you look for in that person other than what you mentioned before?
So I kind of went more to less formal, even though I love the idea of Colby. I kind of went more of the, okay, let me talk to her and sit down. Let me see how she pays attention to me. Mm-hmm. Is she trying to speak as soon as I say something? You know, what's her response? So I kind of took more of the psychology aspect of it. Not to say I'm a master at that, but also just kind of seeing how she pays attention. So again, paying attention, and also just kind of see what her goals are. What has she done before? Mm-hmm. You know, and because I'm looking for that person who has that servant's heart. Mm-hmm. Cause I think that's the one that's going to really see the value in what they're doing. And they're again, back to like, she loves serving, bringing me lunch into here. I am struggling, mm-hmm. but it's her joy, you know? So, have conversation. I love anybody who speaks up. Like I said, I don't want anybody that's just kind of agreeing with what I say. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to kind of, so again, I like to interact with them a little bit, have two interviews. I've had one in my home and then one outside the home to kind of change that environment. But, so it's really hard to put into words, but I think it's just communicating, trust your gut. As far as just how this person might be ideal, eventually people give themselves away.
Yep. Totally. And do there's a few things too that I've done over the years, not just for this hire. And I totally wish I could say, man, I was so smart with hiring Jen as far as what I did there. I didn't know what I was doing, man. And I still oftentimes don't know, but looking back, it's like, you know, one thing that a really good executive assistant is going to do is they're going to come in there with their own notepad, right? They're going to walk in there and they're going to be taking notes. So if you're having someone and you're interviewing someone and they're flat out not taking any notes, unless they have a photographic memory, that's probably a really good indication for how scattered the experience is going to be after you hire that person. They need to be really good at taking those notes because as you as a high performer, oftentimes we're just going to like be throwing stuff out there. We need to have people collect what we're throwing out there and help to digest it and then move it forward if it takes that. Another thing, man, is if you're kind of a stickler at certain things like organization, I'm not that good of an organizer. I can sit down and get things amazingly organized. I have a really tough time staying organized or following a system of organization. So let's say, you know, before you have someone walk in, or you're walking, like put something in the office or whatever that's kind of messy, like put a piece of paper on the ground and see if they walk by and pick it up. You know, see if there's something wacky where it forces them to go through a situation to kind of show what their true colors are. Cause someone is only going to pick up that piece of paper that looks messy if that's the way that they are. You know, they're not going to be thinking, oh my gosh, I need to see if there's any pieces of paper around here to see if I need, no, it's like, they're going to pick it up because that's their gut nature of them taking ownership of that situation. That's a biggie. Just kind of some obvious stuff. Make sure they show on time or early. Another one, if they send you a calendar invite for your meeting, that's a good indication. It doesn't mean that they will, but that's always a good indication, that they're using the same types of tools you might be using. Same thing, just kind of figure out their communication pattern. Are they better, communicating verbally? Are they better communicating written? How do they organize? Have them give examples of ways that they keep things organized, like their daily task lists and stuff like that. Just kind of really figure out how they structure their own lives, because the way that they're structuring their lives is going to be a very good indication of how they help you structure yours. You seem to make sure it meshes, is the biggest thing. So,
and one thing I'll throw in there is do not hesitate to ask questions or be upfront. That was one of the biggest mistakes I made, was I was kind of being too nice with the first person. So now I learn, like, I'm upfront with them. Say, this is kind of who I am. This is how I do things. Mm-hmm. And I even really kind of, like, I'm just learning how to be a lot more blunt, because if they can handle that, to me, that's a good sign too. You know what I mean? So it's kind of being upfront and honest with them. Don't try and force it to be a perfect fit. Mm-hmm. I think when you're really honest, then now they're questioning themselves, like, hey, is this a good fit for me? So it kind of goes both ends. So just want to throw that in.
Yeah, dude. And there's a couple other things too, because like one of the really cool things, you know, this is a really good example where Jen, my assistant, she at that time had just had, you know, I think her son was a couple years old at that time. And she had worked before at a local newspaper. So there's a lot of people, both men and women, who are out there who've had amazing careers, who are really, really smart, but who want to get back into the workforce for whatever reason. So oftentimes you can find those people who they may or may not be ready to go in full time. And you can find a great people who are, hey, I'll take it on for 5 hours a week as long as you guys have a vision, as long as you have a vision for how this is going to grow if it's a good fit. And that's going to be the key, is you can't say, hey guys, for 5 hours of work, a week of work, you know, I'm going to be doing X. You might be able to find someone, but you're not going to find an amazing person, because they're going to want something that has a bigger and better time commitment. But if you can paint the vision, if you can say, hey, I just want to dip my toes in, make sure, and we can see if it's a fit. Here's a couple things I'd like you to have you help me with right now, so we can both really get used to working together. Let's say 5 or 10 hours a week. And then from there, as long as everything's working, let's scale it up, and it could be full-time if that's something you want to do. And I think it took me about 1.5 to 2 years to get Jen to full-time, because she wasn't quite ready. I wasn't quite ready. And then we made that move about 3 years ago to full-time. She works 40 hours a week and gets paid really well for it. So when you're out there looking for someone to fill that role, hit up your network first. Because oftentimes it could even be your friends or colleagues or whatever. They may know someone who's insanely smart and they just are wanting to get back into the workforce, and they could crush it for you. And that's just such a cool opportunity too for us as employers to be able to offer that, to be able to offer a position that is flexible, that they can ease back into it. If it's something that works for you where their hours can be flexible. If it's something that works for you where their location, where they work, can be flexible, where they don't have to come into the office every day. Jen can pretty much be in the office whenever she wants. And, we now have a pretty darn good schedule when I know when she's going to be in and she knows when I'm going to be in for the most part. So we can make sure we get those projects done when we're both in the office. But, you know, probably half the time we're not actually in here at the office together at the same time. She's in here when I'm not, I'm in here when she's not, but then we make sure, you know, we have our stuff scheduled out.
Yeah, and I'll throw that in. It's so true. Don't underestimate your resources or your surroundings. Mm-hmm. Like the team that I built, military wives, like you said, many have degrees, many have really constantly, like I said, they just don't want that time to go back into full thing, into full employment. Also, we have someone on the team on the real estate side, like I said, that she worked for Adidas as a salesperson for so long, and she doesn't want to go back to a full time job. You know what I mean? So, and to me, it's like, man, like you said, there's a lot of resources out there that don't underestimate that. It's just kind of maybe a little bit digging around and just asking questions. So, and you'll find people for sure.
Sweet. So, so when you're putting out the feelers for a position, I'm going to toss out a few things I've done, and I'd love to hear your take on it, Adrian, too. So one of the things I think has worked really well with all types of positions, not for, just for an executive assistant, but I usually like spell out the average day, right? Like on an average day, here's kind of what your day may entail. And just don't be afraid to throw that crap work in there, because that stuff, they have to be completely not just okay with doing, they have to be like excited about doing it. And so the day might start like this, and then you might shift over to this, and then this, and you might be putting out a fire like this, and then later it's this. And so kind of spell out the average type of day that they might be doing and fit in all different types of stuff and see how they respond to that. Most of the time, the ideal person will get excited about that. They'll get excited about all the different things that they get to impact and all the different things they get to work on with you. They'll be excited about being able to take care of you, you know, on a personal level. One thing that we started probably 2 years ago, because Jen noticed that I would always be behind on my haircuts. And dude, the way my hair is, like I'm losing it, first of all. But then like it spikes, it sticks out to the sides. And like, dude, you get me 3 weeks past a haircut, dude, I start to look not so good. And so Jen, a couple of years, noticed that. She's like, do you just want me just to get your haircut scheduled for you? I'm like, oh, that'd be so amazing. I just didn't want to ask you to do it, you know, which I should have. And so now I just know that I always have a haircut scheduled about 2.5 to 3 weeks apart. And it's just in my calendar. I show up and it's there. So put those types of things in that job description. Okay. The next thing, like I said, set the expectation that it's only a handful of hours a week at the start, but then there's the vision for scaling it up as it fits. Also spell out some of those non-monetary benefits, flexible work schedule, you know, within means. You can work at home many of the time, much of the time, but not all the time. You know, kind of spell out all those cool things. And if there's anything else that you can put in there as an added benefit for someone, awesome. Throw those things in there that are non-monetary to start. And I would probably make this person an independent contractor at the start, just to see if it's a fit. You can choose to make an employee later. And in the last thing on the job description, like make them jump through some hoops. I know this sounds really weird, but don't ever just put out a job description, intake a crap load of applications into your inbox, and then you have to wade through all that. Like put them through a process that makes people filter them out themselves. Okay. And one thing I like to do is write a very simple page on a website. Okay. That's where you're going to send everyone. Make sure that you have some details in there that are things that they've got to like read every single word to see, because if that person is not detail oriented, they're not going to fit in this role for you. So there could be something like fit into the third paragraph of seven paragraphs on this page that's referred to it, and at the end of it saying, hey, to apply to this position, do these three things, include a cover letter, which, you know, honestly, I don't really care about the cover letter or resume most of the time, but you want them to put that in there, show that they put in the work to do that and whatever. Cover letter, resume. The next thing is tell them exactly how to send that to you, what the subject line of the email should be. So be specific. And if it's not that, then they can't obviously follow directions, which is not going to be a fit. The next thing is, point out something that we always like to do, a core values based thing. So we say in this email, make it this subject line, attach these things to it. Tell us what your top two favorite core values of Carrot are and why. And how you would see you fitting more of that into our business and into your life. So then they can start to see themselves in your business and resonate with your core values. So they look at the other core values too. And then you can put something else in there. Okay. And depending on the position, we put a third step in there too. And then after you get those, then you only advance the people to the next step, who made it to the next step. The next step, make a video, make a video requirement in there. I'm not saying everyone has to do it. This just really has worked really, really well for me. The next step, you send them back an email, and you can create all these canned responses inside your Gmail account that have these in there. So if you're processing 20 applications, just canned response all those people who made it to the second step. But the second step is congrats, you made it to step two. awesome. Really looking forward to connecting with you. In the meantime, do a short video, no longer than 60 seconds or whatever it is, upload it to YouTube, title it this, and let me know why, blah, 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 blah. So ask them a question that's related to what they'd be able to impact for you or your business, and make them film a YouTube video, include it in there. Okay. And then probably at that point, depending on how you're doing it, put in your schedule once link in there or something where you can have an online scheduler and they pick a time in your schedule to come have a meeting with you or something like that. I'm making stuff up here. So anyway, all I'm saying is make people jump through some hoops and make sure you see the person on video ideally before you even see them in person. Because a lot can be said there, and you may just not even want to advance the person that next step because you learn, oh my gosh, they're amazing on the written word, but they cannot communicate verbally, which is not going to be a good fit for you. Is there anything that you did on the hiring side of things?
Just make it real quick. So I kind of took the whole conversation at Nancy and I said, let's try this. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think she said, hey, let's give it a trial run. So I just loved how she was being proactive. And of course she was experienced too. So in that conversation, I just told her what was important to me right now. What distracts me. Mm-hmm. So the cool thing was I kind of wanted to see what she would do because I knew she was experienced. So cool thing was she asked me, what's my favorite scent? Mm-hmm. So I was like, wondering what's going on. What's your favorite book? She started asking me all these things. I think I posted that on Facebook one time. She was asking me all these proactive questions. It was pretty cool. But then first thing she did was come in and clean my environment because I hate clutter.
Yeah.
She went to my office and I think Carrot had supplied me with a really cool stand-up desk. And she goes in there, puts all my water because she listened to that fact that I hate getting up and getting water. Mm-hmm. And then she gets the stuff going on. So basically my point is this. I kind of threw some stuff out there to her verbally,
yeah,
see how much she absorbed, and she hit a home run. So first thing she does is make sure that she cleans my desk from the night before. Mm-hmm. She plugs in my laptop, make sure it's charging in case I forget the morning before. So she's really – she just has a different eye for it. So, mm-hmm. But that's how I tested her. Like you said, really you're dead on about let them jump through hoops big time. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to do that.
Dude. So that's amazing. I kind of want to just for a second there, talk about the environment side of things, because oftentimes we are in this environment of our offices a lot. Right. And that's so important that your office is a place where you can really excel and you can really produce what you need to produce, and perform where you need to perform. And dude, that is awesome. Like she took that, proactivity and like, I'm not just going to clean your office, but I'm going to do it in the sense that you love the most. Like I love mint. Like dude, I would love my offices, like everything just to smell like mint, oils, whatever those things are called, man, essential oils. Like that would be amazing to have this place smelling like mint all the time and having that good fresh start of the day every time as far as the cleanliness of it. So that is way cool, man, that she took that step for you. I love it. So let's assume they found an amazing person. They're working with them and they need to kind of figure out, they need to answer that question. My friend Chris, which I know you're going to listen to this podcast, Chris, they need to answer that question that Chris had. It was like, I am afraid that I would not really know what to have them do. And I was afraid of the exact same things, but you got to take the leap because you know that the way that your current life and day is set up is not the way you're going to make your greatest impact. So it's kind of like when you work out, right? When you work out, you've got to break down the muscle in order to build it back up. In that first 60 to 90 days, you're honestly going to feel like you are probably less productive. Like you're just feeling like, oh my gosh, I've always got to find something for this person to do and myself to do. Then you're like, I'm organizing their day and mine. First of all, if it's the right person, you're not going to have to do that. But you will have to download from your brain your operating system. And whatever your operating system is, I'm just going to kind of walk through some of mine, right? So the only way that I can operate and be successful is I've got to have a calendar that is clean and spoken for. It's basically, I have to know what I'm doing. It can't be just random stuff all day. I've got to know what my vision is, right? My operating system is I have to know exactly where we're going, why we're going there, what the timeline looks like. And we have to lay that out to the people working with us, your executive assistant, your personal assistant, whatever. They have to know where you're going and why, because They need to know why you're so excited about the work that you do and the impact it's making, so they find meaning in their work. Because if they can't find meaning in their work, there's no way they're going to be insanely happy or the best that they can possibly be. And so lay out, you know, download that operating system and put it in front of them. So those are some of the first things that you should do that first day, is just sit back and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to give you a history of me. This is a history of me and how I have operated all the way up until this point in my life. Here's the bad points. Here's the high points. Here's when I felt the most productive and effective. Here's when I didn't. Here's some of the hardest points in my life. Here's some of the best points. You want to like download that immediately so they feel like they know you like really, really well from the first day. And then it just gets off to a better start. Then the next thing is, that's all the past stuff. Now here's where the future is going. Okay. So the reason I brought you on is because this right here, I find myself having these certain pain points and these certain inefficiencies or bottlenecks during the day. This is where I get thrown off. This is where I get inefficient and unproductive. These are all the things in my to-do list right now. Like, take them inside of your project management system or your to-do list and show them what you've got right now and why it built up to that point. And like I said, you need to cast that vision. What is your mission? Why are you doing what you're doing? Because if they don't feel that it's important enough to support you doing that, they're not going to want to do that. Did you have a chance to do any of that kind of stuff, Adrian? Or
yeah. So for me, I really sat down with her and I really help her I want her to understand where my goals are, not just business, but family, work, physical, mind, everything. And I told her, I said, I just need you to help me accomplish this, you know, to really, like you said, cast a vision, really give that and like that, because people want a sense of fulfillment and what they do, right? So for me, it was that. So we kind of got the low hanging fruit was obviously for me was the bad eating habits. Mm-hmm. So she started to tackle that. One of the things that she did, this might be a good download too. she created these two things for me, and I do this first thing in the morning. This came from, she asked me what my favorite book was, and it was The One Thing. So I have my daily priority sheet. So there's one that says my work priority for today is, then my family priority for today is, then my health priority today is, and errands. So I'll write all this down the night before. And then here's my to-do list, which is top priorities, and then secondary task, then notes. So I have to do this the night before or the morning of, but then she takes a look at it and says, okay, how are we going to accomplish this? What are some things I can take off your hands? And also it keeps me on task. Like I do a lot of strategy calls, so she'll make sure, hey, there's another call coming on in 10 minutes. So that forces me to get off this call and make sure that we're getting on the other call. Because again, it's all about reputation, right? I don't want to be known as like, dude, he's just always calling late and that, things like that. So, so really I just shared with her my goals, my vision, and of course it's going to change and I communicate, but I think the main thing is just be totally transparent. Of course it has to be some trust there too. And you know, as far as how much trust at the beginning, again, it's up to you, but just being transparent, being realistic that on what you want to do and how she can accomplish that.
And we will, if you're cool with it, man, we'll get the PDFs of those. And guys, you'll be able to download the PDF version of Adrian's daily kind of organization process and mine. They're slightly different, but that's the thing is, you guys are going to find what works well for you. Borrow bits and pieces of what works well. And you can download that at carrotcast.com. Find this episode. Or you know what we'll do? Guys and girls, probably we're going to set up a URL and it will be attached to the show notes of this podcast here where you'll be able to download all these resources. So, dude, that's one thing I kind of want to transition over a couple of things. So the first thing I would have someone do if you're hiring an executive assistant or personal assistant for the first time, is probably have them take over, like, first of all, understand all of your business entities, right? You've got to download that. They have to understand every moving part. Where do you have business happening? What are all of your businesses? Because one mistake I made was at the start, I'm like, well, I'm just going to have her help me be a quote unquote personal assistant for this stuff. All this stuff I'll still keep doing. And it didn't work because she would have a question. It's like, so what is this thing over here? Oh, it's this other business I've got. You know, I'm taking care of that. So that doesn't work. Like your executive assistant or personal assistant needs to be encompassing everything that you focus on today. Okay. Like Adrian said, it's not just business. It's family. It's your personal health. It's all of these things. They are here to help you be more effective in life and business. And it can't be just one part of business. Otherwise it's going to be really inefficient and you're not going to be getting the power out of it that you want to. So Then what I do is hand over your calendar. Like that's the first and probably the easiest thing to have someone take over is your calendar. And I actually, everyone in my company has access to my calendar because I just want it to be transparent. I don't want to have people message me and say, hey, is there a time on your calendar for 9 o'clock tomorrow? I just want people to go and just look at my calendar and see if there is, or pick a spot and we can go. So remove those barriers, trust your assistant with your calendar. But in order to do that, one thing I had to do is you have to set up boundaries. You have to set up some sort of, borders that your team or your assistant can work within. So pick the days or the times of days that you're the most effective. So let's say you're amazingly effective. You love, you know, Wednesdays for content. Make sure content that you, whatever that day is, it's blocked off and there's blocks of time that are sacred where they cannot be touched. Make sure you're blocking off a certain amount of hours per week that are just thinking time. Like I'm talking literally at least 2 to 3 hours a week that are just set aside for thinking. No specific projects on there, no phone calls, no nothing. You pull back and think, and there's a clear understanding that no one can put anything there, even yourself. The next thing is set up your kind of cadence with your assistant on how you guys meet. And I'd be kind of curious to hear what yours is, Adrian. How do you guys communicate, and how do you make sure that you guys are always continually staying in sync and moving forward?
Yeah, so for me is that she comes in every day in our home. So she does work side by side. And so that's one aspect of it. Then the other is Slack. Mm-hmm. I've become a big fan of Slack. So, she'll send through, information or just notes in there. So we've used Slack, but, really for me to be really have her be effective, I just felt like it was important for her to come into my home mm-hmm. and be able to work side by side, you know, whatever. And be effective that way.
So
for me,
do you guys have like a meeting every single morning, or is it weekly or every morning?
Yeah, every morning.
Okay.
Every morning. So she's full time now.
Yep.
You know, so I'm at that place to where we are past that trial period and she's a good fit, great mm-hmm. fit. And now she's coming in full time. Mm-hmm. And I came off two major trips and I can't imagine me being able to do what I did while I was on those trips to focus on that and not worry about this other petty stuff mm-hmm. that would have piled up. So that's what made things a lot easier. So it does pay out big
cool.
time.
I like it. Kind of that, dude, that brings up an elephant in the room here. I'm sure people are going, oh my gosh, you know, how much should I invest in a really good executive assistant? I think the variable is how good are they? You know, how effective do they make you work? So probably at the start, I have a propensity to want to find someone local for that role, because having them there, like Adrian said, you cannot have a VA come in and make your work environment amazing for you. That's just not going to happen. So you're going to have all these gaps if that person's not local. But you could, depending on their skill set, you can totally find someone for between 10 and 20 bucks an hour, to start for a handful of hours. And then you can scale up from there if you want to. I know Jen, of course, is a full-time employee of ours now, and she makes really, really good money, you know, well over $40,000 a year doing what she does with benefits and all this kind of stuff. But it worked up to that point. It didn't start there. It started, I think, 10 or 12 bucks an hour for four or five hours a week. And then it like slowly, as she showed a lot more value and I got out of my own way and I was empowering her more and it just stepping out of you are your biggest obstacle here. It's usually not the person that you hire if it's the right person. So as soon as I was able to actually realize that value, because I got out of the way and she just really stepped up and became amazing. Then the value was there. So you just want to make sure you up that compensation in a big way, so they stay and they're motivated to stay. So they're going to take over the calendar. And are there any best practices on calendar management that you found, man? Same thing. We could talk about this topic for an hour by itself, but any kind of tidbits that jump out in your mind?
No, that's one of the beauties, is that she took the initiative to really learn more about Google Calendar. That's mm-hmm. what we use, and just really kind of she was proactive in that. So, so some of the best practices that she's become a gatekeeper. Mm-hmm. So here's a good example. So when someone makes an appointment with me, they have to accept my invite. Mm-hmm. And she knows that. So one, she's being efficient, but also second, she's kind of that gatekeeper for me. Because right now my focus is towards Carrot. So, and of course I have some other stuff with real estate that's going on and mm-hmm. managing property out of state, a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. So she's become that gatekeeper. So that's the mentality I like to have her have as gatekeeper. Yep. But yeah, calendar, and then a lot. We use OnePass. Mm-hmm. We have a team account, so she has access to a lot of my stuff without having to write down passwords. That becomes a time eater too. Mm-hmm. That we learned is we just got an account with OnePass.
Totally.
So just.
Dude, some things that have helped me, especially in this past year on the calendar side in a big way, was there were times when we were kind of out of sync where she didn't really know what my full workload was that week or the week after or the end of the month, and nor would I. So sometimes I would kind of get surprised. It'd be a Wednesday. I'm like, shoot, I didn't know I had this today. I didn't prep for it. I didn't do any of that stuff. So there's a couple things we instituted about a year, year and a half ago that are working really, really well for both of us. And this serves two purposes. It's not just so I can get it. The first thing is know your personality. If you get distracted by stuff easily, try to channel all communication through one spot and don't go in those places that get you distracted. My inbox, I get completely distracted in there. So now, I used to go from probably 4 hours a day in email to I'm probably maybe an hour a week now, if that. Which is sweet. Slack has been a big part of that, but Jen manages my inbox and has for the past about 3 years. And that's a whole nother call, guys and gals, because that's something that you probably don't want to roll over your inbox to an assistant until you feel fully confident that person is the person. And then it's still going to be a struggle. It's going to be something where you're always trying to find the new system, find out what works for you, because it totally defeats the purpose. If you're spending half the time in your inbox and they're spending a bunch of time in there too, like the aim should be to keep you out of the inbox, except for maybe an hour or two a week. If you have that personality like I do, where you'll just go down a rabbit hole. But one thing that we do is at the start of each month, we have a 90-minute meeting. We review the whole month ahead. Okay, what kind of big things do I have to prepare for? Do I have a speaking gig here? Do I have this? Do I have a big project I need to work on that it's assigned to me that I need to allocate a lot of time for? And then we start to time block in a big way right there for the month to make sure that the time for important projects doesn't get eaten up by the day-to-day busyness. The second thing is every Sunday night, Jen Slacks over to me through Slack, the software that we use for team communication. She sends over to me my calendar or my schedule. So I don't have to go into Google Calendar and look at it, because same thing, I will get distracted in there. I'll probably miss something. So she sends it over and says, hey, here's a rundown of your day tomorrow. Okay. Here's your rundown of the important things for the week. She does it every Sunday. And that's not like every appointment. That's, hey, here's this call that you have Thursday. You need to prep for it in this way. I already blocked off an hour for you Wednesday to prep for that. Hey, you've got this speaking gig. Hey, you're flying out on this time. At this time, you need to make sure you get out the door by X. Do you need anything? That kind of thing. So those are kind of the random things. And then the night before, she sends me through the schedule for that next day. So I very rarely look at my calendar because it's all in there in Slack communications. And then that also helps. So Jen now knows my calendar front and back. So she doesn't have to remind herself because she's looking at it every single day. That's a biggie for me. Do you guys get that drilled down or do you guys not?
Yeah, no, I'm actually writing down some of those ideas already. I love them. The other thing too, expect everybody also on this call, not everything's going to go perfectly. There's going to be some working out some of the kinks and all that. But here's the other thing too, expect in the first 30 days, 60 days to really take notes of things that you'll see opportunity for them to do. So here's a good example. On my trip up to Oregon, so I'll be honest, I've always been cheap when it comes to the airlines, get the lowest fare, right? Yep. Which usually means like way in the back. But on this trip, I said, man, you know what? I'm gonna go up to the main cabin on my trip from Charlotte to LA because that's the longest trip. It's like a 5-hour flight. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna try it out. So they charged me $80 or something to upgrade, and I got it. And dude, it was like so productive because I had so much room, mm-hmm. I had so much space, and I got a lot of work done up in the air.
Yep.
So right there, here's my point. As soon as I got off the plane, I told her, from here on my long flights, make sure you're upgrading me to the main cabin.
Yep.
So that kind of shows you, if I just kind of let that go, and then, so you kind of prepare to kind of take notes and take mm-hmm. – opportunity is going to present itself to know what are some things that are important. So now she knows we're on the same page mm-hmm. To always upgrade me to main cabin. It's a good investment in me. Yeah. And I think I wouldn't have invested in that airline if I didn't invest myself into having an assistant. Does that make sense?
Oh, dude.
You know, it's like it carries over and you begin to see things so much differently. You know, like I was so caught up in the airfare and like, you know, but now it's like, man, now I can't go back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Dude, I'm so glad you brought that up because I'm looking down at my notes here because, I mean, this call could literally be a two-hour call. It's not going to be because I have to pick up my daughter here in like 10 minutes. So we're gonna X this out in about 5 minutes. We'll probably do a segment three or something like that. But I'm just going to kind of rattle off some of my basic systems that I use, right? So flights right there. One thing you have to do as you're becoming a high performer and you need more time back is you need to look at every single thing that you are doing that takes your time to do that someone could or should do. Booking flights is like a rabbit hole for me because I was the same way, dude. I would look for 45 minutes or 2 hours to find a flight that would save me $80. I'd be like, that was the dumbest thing in the world. So what I did was I wrote down in my little online, it's just a WordPress blog I password protected for us, for my whole team. And it's like, here's the types of flights I want. Here's my way of thinking and how I book flights. Here's the places I look first. I prefer this airline over this. I would rather have a flight, you know, I'd rather sit here. I don't want a middle seat. I'd rather have a window, but if I had to have aisle, I'd rather have aisle in these rows. These are the times I would like to fly out. This is my preference on airport. And this is my second preference. Here's how many layovers. Like I lay out all these preference points. So now Jen can go through and it took probably 4, 5, 6 iterations where, she'd send me back some flights. I'm like, those don't really quite fit it. But I look at my system like, I didn't really get specific there. So let me make that a little bit more specific now. And, so that's amazing. Another one. Lunch stuff, right? Like, what do you like to eat? Don't make it so she or he says, what do you want to eat today? It's like, you have just set out your things that, you know, these are the things that are kind of my go-tos. And there's something called, decision fatigue. You can read up about it online, but if you look at why people like Steve Jobs wore the same clothing, like every day, you look in his closet, it's like 12 black turtlenecks and blue jeans. It wasn't necessarily because he just loved those. It's because decision fatigue. The more small decisions you have to make, the more it fatigues you to make the big ones. So if you can make a lot of these small decisions in your process to where that person can help you without having to think through or ask you what you want, that's the worst because you're probably going to go, I don't know. Or you're going to have to sit there and think for 2 minutes. It's like, no, just have it show up for you. So your meals, what time do you like them? What do you like to eat? Are there certain days you like to eat certain things? Haircut stuff, you know, your car, oil change, all that kind of stuff at what schedules and intervals, time blocks. When do you work the best? For me, I do content the best on Thursday. So all of Thursday is time blocked for content and nothing else. I don't want any meetings after noon on Fridays because I want to get out the office early as I can and go hang out with family. I don't do very good project thinking on Mondays because I'm so deep in there with the team on Mondays. So project thinking is Tuesday afternoons or Wednesdays. And also locally, I do a lot of local entrepreneur stuff here. And so there's a lot of demand for my time. And what would happen before was, you know, we would always be like, hey, do you want to meet with this person in this state? I'm like, oh, man, yeah, sure. And then it would get injected in the calendar. It always jack up my schedule. So what we do now is for people that have a demand on your time, number one, see if they can wait. Okay, if they're not willing to wait, that shows you how much they actually value your time. Or if you don't want them to wait, it shows you that it's probably an important thing. But we have now moved all of my local meetings to a 2-hour time block the last Tuesday of each month. So she just knows if it's a local person that fits this type of model or this type of mindset to put them in this 2-hour time block in the last Tuesday of each month. No thinking, no asking me about it. It just is there. And I show up that time block the last Tuesday of each month expecting I've got at least 2 meetings with local people about entrepreneurship stuff. God, there's so many things like that. The daily thing is a big deal, man. Like you said, having that daily deal on your desk. So when I walk into my office now, I've got my daily worksheet there sitting on my desk. And one other thing that was really cool is when you fill that out, keep it on your desk, because if you have a good assistant, they will, without asking you, come and look at it when you're doing something else. They'll look at it to see if they can proactively get something off that list for you, because you might not have wanted to delegate it out. Last little tip is I use voice to text constantly because I take way too long to write stuff. So I'm sitting there on my phone driving and I would be like talking on the phone, or I will say, hey Siri, you know, send this text message or whatever. And I will do voice to text quite often in my in-between moments, sending things to Jen or receiving things from her, things like that. I mean, I could go on and on and on about our systems that we use, but the biggest thing is create a cadence. Have some sort of a cadence with your executive assistant where you know that you guys are both on top of your calendar. You guys are both on top of knowing what's most important that week. That's the thing that we've injected into my processes just recently is on Mondays, we always discuss what is the highest priority for the week. So that way she makes sure I don't hijack that week and I make sure that I actually get that thing done.
One thing I want to add into there too, Trevor, is that by you doing this, this will change how people seek you out too. Mm-hmm. Like I remember like when we first met, man, I would always try to go directly to you. But now as my mindset has changed, now I know better to go through Jen because mm-hmm. it's a lot more the process is there and we know it's gonna get done. Mm-hmm. So with that said, now I become more respectful to your time. Mm-hmm. So I think people, when you kind of set that standard in your organization, your business, whatever, which really what we're talking about with the PA is that people will respect your time a lot mm-hmm. more, and you'll train them to properly go through that proper channels, and that will just make things so much easier. So that's one of the things I'm doing right now because I'm too nice sometimes with my time frame.
Yep. Yep. I'm with you, man. And I better cut this one off. We'll pick up a third one in the series here shortly, but to kind of end cap this, I'm going to end cap. I'd love kind of your end cap on this segment of it, which is shifting that mindset, finding that person and diving in and kind of getting that your feet wet with your executive assistant is you've got to be ready mentally to start really delegating and truly knowing what you're good at and what you like and what you don't like, and know that you're going to commit to getting all that other stuff off of your lap. And you've got to find someone who loves to do that stuff, and you've got to fully empower them. Don't sugarcoat what their job is going to be, because they will love that job, even though that isn't your ideal job. And then take it easy. You don't have to dive in there and do 4,000 things the first week. Take it easy. Work your hours up as you get comfortable. Get the calendar started probably first. Set some time blocks. You'll figure out where your time is best matched. And maybe we'll come up with like a real true resource or guide or course or something on this topic where we can dive into more detail. Cause I know we're kind of touching it at the 5,000 or 20,000 foot level here instead of like the nitty gritty. And then the last thing is, yeah, you just got to be in it for that long-term investment, that you can't be looking back in a month going, oh my gosh, I'm still not sure what to do. I wasn't sure what I was doing like 6 months in, but I knew that I couldn't do it all myself. And I had to create better systems and download my operating system and how I made decisions, how I thought about things. And then continually went, okay, is this something that Jen can do for me? If so, what are the questions she's likely going to have in order to ask in order to actually do this successfully? Then I would write down the answers to those before I ever even gave it to her. So what about you, man? What's the best way to end cap this combo on personal assistance?
Yeah, so kind of back to the mindset, man. If you want to stay busy in life but really never accomplish anything, keep being busy, mm-hmm. you know. But if you really want to accomplish and be productive and, you know, you need that help, that's just the gist of it. So make the investment. It's not going to be pretty. There's going to be a lot of plowing through in a lot of ways. Start where you are, but trust me, it's going to be the best investment you'll ever make. Mm-hmm. This past year, I've had the best probably revenue wise ever with less stress, less work. And I can attribute to having this assessment and making that investment in myself. You just can't do it. You cannot do it solo.
Dude, and I'm going to piggyback off of that right there, that if you guys are looking at this going, man, you know, that sounds like a lot of work and I'll just keep on doing it the way I'm doing it. First of all, if you don't have the revenue, you've got to get the revenue in order to make this step. Second of all, exact same thing here, dude. I've regained more time, became more intentional. My income went up by magnitudes after this. Now, is it all because of this? Heck no. But a good hunk of it is because I'm now able to focus on the important things and pull back and really be a better, higher performing version of myself. So guys and gals, go out there and put some of these in play. We will have some resources for you in the show notes of this. Go to carrotcast.com and find this episode. Or like I said, we may make a whole guide out of this where we have all of our downloads and stuff. We'll figure out what we're going to do with this. I don't know yet. We're having a fun time with this. And we might do a micro episode next as a third that actually dives into the specific software details, all that stuff in more detail. We'll see. Hit us with questions and we'll decide if we need to do another installment on this or not. But I got a jet. Got to pick up my daughter. And we'll talk soon. Adrian, thanks as always, man.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Excellent. That wraps up part two of our series on hiring an amazing executive assistant to help you be more productive, more effective, be happier in life, do the things you love to do, and also give someone an amazing job. And like I said, if we missed any resources in here, I know we kind of ran a little bit long, and I had a jet to grab my daughter, and now I'm back here recording the outro. But if we missed any resources or didn't close any gaps, please let us know. Okay, let us know in the comments section of this podcast, or go to, you know, just email us at support@oncarrot.com. That's support@oncarrot.com. And let us know your specific questions so we can make sure that we fill it in with the resources in the notes section of this podcast, or to do another shorter part three that wraps up this series. Okay, so let us know. But either way, go to carrotcast.com if you're listening to this on iTunes or on the pot in one of your favorite podcast catcher. So you can go there and you can find the notes for this episode. The notes actually include downloads and includes all kinds of fancy and amazing things that we talked about on this podcast. All the resources you can find right there. One resource we really didn't dive into as much as we should have is the Kolbe score and the Kolbe test, K-O-L-B-E, write that down. The Kolbe test is a test we have every single one of our team members take before they actually get hired. And you're going to want to make sure that your executive assistant is a high follow through, kind of lower quick start on the Kolbe test. Okay. So make sure that your executive assistant is over a 5 or 6, ideally a 6 or 7 on follow through, because they need to be amazing on that. If you hire someone with less follow through than that, it's not going to work out for you. I can guarantee it. But go to Kolbe, I think it's just Kolbe.com, but look it up online, Google it. It's the Kolbe Index, K-O-L-B-E, and it's the one that costs $49. Have yourself take it, have all of your hires take it, and have anyone take it at that last step before you actually pull the trigger on it to make sure they're the right work and culture match, okay? So Kolbe, make sure it's a 5, 6, 7 or above and follow through. All right. Anyway, guys and gals, have an amazing rest of the week. And hopefully you're going to take some of these resources, going to take this information that Aiden and I have laid out there and give it a test for yourself. I know you're going to struggle like we did. It's not going to be the easiest thing in the world in the first month or first 6 months. But I can tell you, if you always strive to do less but better, if you always strive to remove things from your lap that you're not great at or that you don't enjoy, and pass them over to someone who loves doing those things, who's great at it, you're going to be a lot more effective. You're going to be making more money. You're going to be happier. You're going to be providing amazing jobs, and you're going to be doing what makes your heart sing as an entrepreneur and as a leader. With that, we'll have an amazing rest of the week, guys and gals, and we'll talk to you soon.